The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Catch everybody up on where we are. A couple of weeks ago, Liz Truss, the British Foreign Secretary, suggested that negotiations were at an end and Her Majesty's government may have to look at unilateral change to the protocol and the withdrawal agreement. Her Attorney General, the Attorney General of the British government, went opinion shopping and found an opinion that said, yeah, that's perfectly legal, you can do that. Such was the outcry that Boris Johnson sought to tone down temperatures with a column in the Belfast Telegraph. No sooner was the ink dry on that than Boris Johnson thought began to hedge his bets and thought, you know what, maybe we'll have to go for unilateral change. And now we're back to where we started, and Liz Truss again is the one talking about unilateral change. So I hope that puts everybody in the fray. Mick Mulvaney is a former United States Special Envoy for Northern Ireland. Mick, it's good to talk to you again. What is the view from your side of the world to the possibility of Britain unilaterally changing an international treaty?
Kieran, thanks very much for having me. Unilateralism is tough. It is. Anytime any party to an agreement, if you and I have an agreement, you and I have an agreement with somebody else, and one of the parties decides they want to unilaterally change things, that sort of makes you wonder if you had an agreement in the first place, and it certainly makes it more difficult to have agreements in the future. The British government did a little bit of this on some of the legacy issues when I was the special envoy, and we pushed back on that a little bit. We were excited when the Northern Ireland Protocol got agreed to because it was an agreement, something that the Europeans and the British were able to come to together. We'd love to see that same sense of negotiation carry through here. There are some important things here philosophically. I get that. There's some critical things here historically. I get that. But economically, the amount of goods flowing from Great Britain to Northern Ireland and then into the Republic is so small. It's got Americans scratching their heads going, you know, really, do we really want to put the Good Friday Belfast agreements, the lack of a hard border at risk over chilled meats?
We spoke a little bit earlier in the show, Mick, to Sheila Fogarty. She presents an afternoon radio show in the UK on LBC, so a big radio station, national radio station there with a huge listenership. And she speaks to callers every day. And what she told me was the sense she gets from callers in Britain, mostly, more than Northern Ireland, is that their issue, their problem, is not so much the protocol or the Good Friday Agreement or trade or customs barriers, wherever they may exist. It's the reputational damage that something like this might do to the British government. How real is that threat? I mean, how real is the threat to the Britain's reputation if they were to do this on their own?
I think it's fair. I know that Richie Neal, a friend of mine, a former colleague, he's the Democrat. I was a Republican. He's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, which will be in charge of any future free trade agreement between the United Kingdom and the U.S. I know he's traveling, I believe, to that part of the world this week. And I know it's got to be on his mind is how are we supposed to be able to sit down with you folks talking about the U.K. now and hammer out what could be, in theory, the largest free trade agreement in history? And then expect you to keep your part of the agreement if you've got this track record of unilaterally changing things that you don't like or that you like and then become politically untenable. That's not a very good base from which to work. Listen, the relationship between the U.S. and the U.K. is very strong, obviously between the U.S. and Ireland is very strong as well. But when we start talking about things like free trade agreements, The credibility and the bona fides count, and you have to be able to sit down and trust the people you're speaking with. And every time you unilaterally change an agreement, it erodes that.
So I mean, if your view from that side of the pond is kind of a bit of head scratching as to why this has become such an issue, do you suspect it is simply about ideology?
No, I know exactly why it's happening. It's because Northern Ireland is hard. I had to sort of giggle when I was listening to your introduction dealing with Holy Communion. And I'm trying to figure out if solving Northern Ireland is going to be easier or harder than dealing with the issue of First Holy Communion in Ireland. It is a long history. We all get that. It's a very tenuous situation. We all get that. We just hope that cool heads continue to prevail and that discussions continue. By the way, by the same token, we've talked about the British government's attitude towards this. I was extraordinarily disappointed to see the DUP not go into government after the May 5th elections. I thought that showed us a certain amount of bad faith. So we hope that folks recognize what's at stake. I know that we know that, that they know what's at stake, but not to do anything rash, not to do anything that could endanger the peace and prosperity that we've had for the last 20 plus years under the Good Friday Agreement, and that we continue to talk before doing things unilaterally.
And are you at all maybe appalled is too strong a word, but are you disappointed in that talk, in the rhetoric that's doing the rounds at the moment, particularly on kind of social media? I made the point earlier, we're kind of into this phase where, you know, Ireland's foreign minister is retweeting criticism of Britain's foreign minister.
Yeah, I mean, and rhetoric can get out of control. There's no question about that. But really, it's the actions that speak louder than words in life and, of course, in diplomacy. And the fact, for example, the DUP acts by not going into government and storming out, that hurts the discussion. The fact that the British are no longer talking to the Europeans, it doesn't seem on this issue, that counts. So, yeah, the rhetoric doesn't help. There's no question about it. But we always try and cut through that and see what people are actually doing rather than they are saying. By the way, having been an elected politician for a long time, I can assure you that that's always good advice to people. Believe what people do more than what they say.
So, I mean, let's stick with that then, this idea that what they do rather than what they say is more important. There is a narrative out there that all of this is simply a distraction, a kind of a three-card trick, because the realities of Brexit are beginning to roost for Boris Johnson's government. Would you buy into that at all?
Well, a little bit. I mean, look at it from a different perspective, which is the reality of Brexit on Northern Ireland is that if they do it correctly, and by they, I mean everybody, Europe, the UK, Northern Ireland, if it's handled correctly, Northern Ireland will be the only place in the whole world that will have complete access to the United Kingdom market and complete access to the EU. That's a tremendous opportunity. That's something that people should be working towards and seeking to take advantage of, not looking for ways to blow up or to interfere with. And I sort of get the impression that folks have lost sight of that goal, because that is a tremendous opportunity. We all know that economic stability breeds political stability, and the future for Northern Ireland is extraordinarily bright. In a practical sense, I'm not being philosophical here. I'm not being high-minded. I'm saying in a very real dollars and cents, real-world application, Northern Ireland can be extraordinarily successful if this is all handled properly.
And some of the evidence for that is already there, of course, Mick, and you'll be aware of this. I mean, the fastest-growing constituent part of the United Kingdom economically is Northern Ireland, while the rest of the UK, mainland Britain, if we call it that, is staring down the barrel of, at best, economic stagnation, at worst, and probably more likely, economic recession. Not so in the north, and it's because it has a completely open border and unfettered access, you would have to imagine, to the European Union.
Oh, look, I've tried to explain to American businesses since I've been back. I'm no longer in the position of special envoy. That's a political appointment in my country. So as soon as Donald Trump ceased being president, actually, I quit after the riots, but that's another story. So I'm no longer there in an official capacity, but I have had regular conversations with American and with other European businesses about setting up shop in Northern Ireland, and they were not aware of the benefits that could be available to them if they set up shop there in terms of the access to both of those huge markets. So it doesn't surprise me that business is finding a way, a practical way to succeed. I just don't want to see unilateral discussions, what I perceive to be ill-considered decisions not to join government, those types of political things interfering with what could be a huge practice of success.
Mick Mulvaney, a former US Special Envoy to Northern Ireland. Mick, it's always a pleasure, and thanks a million for joining us here on the show. Mick mentioned First Holy Communions in the discussion we had earlier here on The Hard Shoulder. One text in from a teacher: the disrespect that is shown to Christianity is absolutely disgraceful. If there was a discussion on radio about any other belief system and people were disregarding it as false or that it's not real, there would be uproar. If a parent does not want their child confirmed, that is their choice, but they have absolutely no right to try and get it removed from Catholic schools just because it doesn't suit them. So says one of our listeners anyway. What say you? 53106.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.